So we're coming down to the end of this sermon series. Last 2 weeks of this series on the heart. And this morning we're going to talk about an open heart. And the text I'd like to read is a little bit longer than the one that's listed on your screen or in your handout this morning. It's Ephesians and in the first chapter, but I'd like to read from verse 15 through verse 23. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for Christians everywhere, I've never stopped thanking God for you. Paul's writing to the Ephesian church. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those he called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in the world or in the world to come. Just a side comment. Now he is above all of those rulers. Now he is ruling. Not sometime off in the future, but now, in the midst of this day, he's above all the rulers of all the kingdoms of this earth. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ and gave him this authority for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is filled by Christ who fills everything, everywhere with his presence. Father, I ask that you would take these words of Paul that you, by your Spirit, moved him to write so long ago, and that you would come into this place right now, here, and you would cause these words to come alive to us with a new understanding, a new meaning, a new power. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the theme of this entire series has been on the heart of Christianity, and our hearts. Now, the Bible uses a lot of different metaphors to describe the human condition. One of the central ones is that we have hard hearts. Remember that the heart in Scripture is the word used to describe the self at its deepest level. It's not just about our emotions, which is what we tend to think in the modern age. It is indeed about things like love and courage and things that we would associate with the heart, but it's also about the intellect and the will and even the way in which we perceive things. The heart functions at the center of our being. I would say the heart functions below and underneath our thinking and our feeling and our willing and our seeing. What matters in Scripture is the condition of the heart. That's what I want to talk about this morning. We can have, according to the Bible, a hard heart, a heart made of stone, or a heart that is closed. We can have a heart that is shut up, walled off. The Bible even says we can have a fat heart, or a proud heart, or a puffed up heart. I would go on to say that we can have an apathetic heart. We can just be apathetic. Or we can have a bored heart. We're bored with life. We're bored with our faith. We're bored with our church. We're bored with God. Or as Stephen reminded us yesterday at the men's retreat, we can have a bitter heart. Our hearts can be bound up with bitterness because of something has happened to us, something somebody has said to us. Or I would say we can have a cold heart, calloused heart. We just don't want to feel. There's too much pain around us. There's there's too much destruction. There's too much agony. And so we just become numb. The problem comes when we don't see God and respond to Him because of the condition of our heart. And if we don't respond to God because of the condition of our heart, I would say, then we don't respond to people either. We become disengaged, disconnected. And that can happen in a marriage. It can happen in a family. It can happen in a job. It can happen in a church. We just become disengaged. What the scripture says is that there's a certain degree of element in which we are responsible for the condition of our heart. Yes, along with what the Spirit is doing in our hearts, but we have to respond. We have to pay attention to our hearts. The passage I read a couple of weeks ago was, we have to guard our hearts. Well, what are we guarding our hearts against? This morning, what I want to say is we need to guard our hearts against having a closed, cold, stony heart. And we have to guard ourselves so that we remain open to God and open to His love and open to people. The new covenant revealed and implemented in Jesus Christ is a new way of being in relationship with God, replacing the old covenant of externals written on tablets of stone with a living, dynamic new life written on our hearts. And that's why we need our hearts to be open. What Frederick Buechner calls, we need to have hearts that are hatched. Now just think about that image for a moment. What happens when an egg hatches? It opens up. Years ago, before I went into the ministry, Nancy and I had some friends praying for us, and I've shared in the past some of the visions that were given. And one of those visions was a picture of me in an egg. And the egg was hatched and it opened. And I came out and I was dressed in a clown suit. And the rest of the vision was people kept trying to take the pieces of the egg shell and put me back in the egg. And the message from God to me at that time was, don't let it happen. Stay open. Remember, the heart is a metaphor for the self at its deepest level. The Bible paints a picture of the human condition in many images. It says we are in bondage and we need liberation. It says we are in exile and we need to be brought home. It says we are blind and need to be enlightened, have our sight restored. We are in the dark and we need illumination. We are hungry and thirsty and we need food and drink that satisfies. We are sinful and unclean and we need forgiveness and cleansing. And so if we're people who live in that condition and our hearts remain closed and our ears remain closed, we need our hearts to be opened and softened. If we have bitter hearts, we need our hearts to be sweetened. Now think about that for a moment. That God wants to sweeten our hearts. That's what He wants to do with you. In your marriage, in your family, in your job, in your church, in your neighborhood. Your attitudes and your perceptions, the way you encounter life, He wants your hearts to be sweetened and open. Open to people and open to God. Opening to God is the first part because it enables us to be open to people. The heart can be turned away from God or turned toward God. Closed hearts are shut up, encrusted, puffed up, enlarged, and made of stone. The Bible actually uses a word, sclerocardia, sclerosis of the heart. What happens when we have sclerosis of the arteries? What happens? They close up, and as a result of them closing up, what happens? We die. We have a heart attack. Well, we can have spiritual heart attacks too. In fact, I would say we can have spiritual heart attacks and we don't even know what's happening, because we've allowed our heart and our spiritual arteries to get hard. A hard, closed heart creates blindness and limited vision. We get ourselves in a situation and we can't see our way out of it. It impacts our reason and our ability to embrace the truth. It keeps us in bondage. It produces a lack of gratitude. A closed heart is insensitive to wonder and awe. Wonder and awe is happening around us all the time. But if our hearts are hard and closed, our eyes are blind, and we just don't see it. A closed heart is insensitive to the needs of others, lacking in compassion and sensitive to injustice. When our hearts are closed, we live in a shell. So what do we need? What do we need if our hearts are hard and closed? What do we need? You should be able to say right what it is right now. We need what kind of heart? An open heart. We need an open heart. We need a heart that's soft. Soft toward God, soft toward people. Well, how does that happen? On our part, how do we engage with the Spirit in such a way that that can happen? In Celtic Christianity, there's a concept of something called thin places. God is not somewhere else, but he's right here, which is what Paul talks about in Ephesians, in that passage that I read. In another place, Paul says, he is the one in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Thin places are those places and times when our hearts are open and we see the presence of God shining there, when the veil lifts and we behold God with our hearts. Thin places are anywhere where our hearts are opened, a time when the sacredness of God himself becomes present to us. So therefore, in Celtic Christianity, what they talk about are thin places, or places where a place or a person or an event becomes a means of grace. So actual places can become thin places. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more next week. But people can become thin places. There was a moment yesterday in the men's retreat where John Sheffield was sharing, and John sharing and John himself became a thin place for me. Worship, when we gather together, can become a thin place. There was a moment this morning when we were singing where there was a thin place for me, where God became present to me in a palpable way for me. Sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, this table can become a thin place. All of the spiritual disciplines can become thin places. I'm going to talk more about that next week. Where our hearts are open to God and the hard shell of a stony heart is cracked and we become soft toward God. And we'll speak more about some of those things next week as well. So what happens? What does an open heart actually look like? Well, it looks like this. We see more clearly. We see into people. We see them. And we see God more clearly. God sees into us when our hearts are open. We see the beauty and wonder of creation. Everything around us. We see God in the midst of the ordinary things of life, and we stop having to be titillated by excitement and entertainment, because we meet God in those thin places and our hearts are opened. and open hearts are flooded with gratitude, you can be sure that a person who is filled with gratitude is a person who is open to God. And our hearts are open to compassion. And that passion includes a passion for restorative justice, not just punitive justice, not so that people can get paid for the bad that they do, but that so somehow God can enter into their lives and to that community and to this nation in a way that people flourish and shalom happens. That happens through people who have open hearts. The Christian tradition is filled with a yearning for an open heart, a new heart, a transformed heart, a heart of flesh, which I think is expressed in a little song that I know when I was a young teenager and had first come to faith and hadn't been a part of a church before, we sang this song, and some of you may have sung this song. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Decades ago, in 1964, actually, when I was a young Christian, I'd become a Christian 3 years earlier, someone gave me a book by Dag Hammarskjöld. Any of you know his name? He was a Swedish diplomat and the Secretary General of the United Nations. The book is called Markings. It's actually his journal over many years that was published after his death. It was published in 1963 in Sweden, and then it was published in the United States in 64, and somebody gave me that book. Dag Hammarskjöld was a faithful and committed Christian. And the Markings is that journal of his poems and spiritual meditations. He was actually killed in a plane crash on his way to Katanga to do a peacekeeping mission, which is a part of the Republic of Congo right now, I believe. And subsequent to the plane crash, it was pretty well discovered that it was sabotage, that he was killed on purpose. And he was killed by people in business and in the Soviet Union who didn't want him to be a part of restorative justice in Katanga, because it would hit their pocketbook. So that book, as a youngster, I was senior in high school when it was given to me, became a part of my spiritual food in the formative years of my life. I want to read a passage from that book. This is not the one that was given to me. I can't find the one that was given to me. I loaned it to somebody and they didn't give it back. But I have an open heart. There's no bitterness there. You know, it's really no fun to have your sermon thrown back at you. This is what he writes. Thou who art over us, thou who art one of us, thou who art also within us, may all see thee in me also. May I prepare the way for thee. May I thank thee for all that shall fall to my lot. May I also not forget the needs of others. Keep me in thy love, as thou wouldst that all should be kept in mine. May everything in this my being be directed to thy glory, and may I never despair. For I am under thy hand, and in thee all power and goodness. Give me a pure heart that I may see thee, a humble heart that I may hear thee. A heart of love that I might serve thee, and a heart of faith that I might abide in thee. I think that captures what I'm trying to talk about and where it leads. I want to read another thing that he said. This is in a 1953 interview by Edward R. Murrow. And in that interview, he said this: "The explanation of how man should live a life of active social service," which is what he has done. He's given his life towards social service. "In full harmony with himself as a member of the community of spirit, I found the writings of the great medieval Christian mystics for whom self-surrender has been the way to self-revelation, and who, in singleness of mind and inwardness, have found strength to say yes to every demand which the needs of their neighbors made them face, and to say yes also to every fate of life, every fate life had in store for them, when they followed the call of duty as they understood it." What I want to say to you this morning is, Covenant Presbyterian Church, there is a call on your life by Christ. And that call can be summed up to be open to God and let him give you everything that you need in your inner person, and give him all the glory that he deserves. But that openness to God, that open heart to God, also means an open heart toward people. To serve people, to love people, to care for people, to act out in acts of compassion, to not be closed off. Last week, Dean Merrill in Roundtables talked about his book, and he showed a cover of The Economist, and I can't remember exactly what the wording on it was, but he basically said, look, at the world in which we live today is not divided by West and East. It's not divided by Christianity and Islam. It's not divided by Republicans and Democrats. It's not divided by... And he listed all these things. It's not divided by those things. The world today is divided by open and closed. I think that is right on target. This table, I believe, for this you this morning, can be a thin place. A place where God comes to meet you and to come into your heart in a new way with new depth. Would you pray with me? Father, I ask that you would take these common, ordinary elements of bread and of the fruit of the vine and set them apart for your sacred purpose in our lives this morning. That as we come to the table, the very act of coming will be an act of saying to your spirit, we want to be open. We want our hearts to be open. And so as our hearts open up just a crack, we pray that your spirit of love and transformation would flood into our hearts, and that any apathy we have, any bitterness we have, any coldness that we have, any closeness that we had would be washed away and replaced by the warmth of your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.